Well, I'd like to start my sermonette today by turning back to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, you can head back there. My brother-in-law recently gave a message on a verse in this chapter, and it kind of really generated some thoughts in my mind that I thought might be useful to cover here today. Now, Ecclesiastes, the book, as you well know, is not necessarily known for being filled to the brim with optimistic stories and principles. Oftentimes, I think it's kind of the opposite. It's a book considered to be kind of a downer in some spots. And I think because of that, it's not natural for us to crack open our Bibles and just jump into Ecclesiastes when we have a few minutes for our day-to-day reading. Although, kind of ironically, I would think that this is one of the books of the Bible that people in our modern era should be able to relate to the most. As we have more and more possessions, more and more wealth and luxury, we can easily see how all of those things can still leave people feeling empty and unsatisfied, even as we as a nation have more than we've ever had before. We can still at times feel emptier than we ever have before as well. Solomon, who was at the peak of physical blessings, still found that a life could be empty or somewhat of a void if it's derived outside of a relationship with God and is instead focused on human pleasures. Ecclesiastes is really a book and a message that is as timeless as one can be. Throughout this book, we have a lot of discussions about vanity and worthlessness of life outside of that relationship with God. And when we get to chapter 11, which is where we're going to jump in, we see the author is starting to summarize and wrap up his thoughts on the human experience. Almost like leading up to this section, he's kind of working it out loud in his mind, and now he's really come to the conclusion of the matter. And there's a lot of pondering that pours out from these verses as the writer goes through that discovery process of what life is all about. So let's see if we can absorb one of those lessons. Let's pick it up right in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, starting in verse 1, it says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days." Okay. I guess if there is wisdom here to be gleaned, maybe we have to dig a little deeper than the surface. This is kind of a weird saying. Seems like if you do this, you're just going to have soggy bread at the end. Verse 2, "Give a serving to 7 and also to 8, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth." Okay, not 100% sure what that means either. "If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie." Okay. Verse 4. "He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap." Well, what is this talking about? What is the point being made here, and how, more importantly, can we use it within our own lives today? Now, commentaries have a lot of ideas about what these four verses could mean. One suggests that verse 1 is talking about making beer, of all things. And they say that that's a very, very early indication of brewing practices, where you put in bread and dates in the fermenting process. And the commentary states that that's what it means, when you cast your bread and it comes back to you later as beer. Well, maybe. I don't know if that makes 100% sense in this context. That doesn't sound like something that Solomon was pondering deeply about. Maybe a better idea is a very similar sounding piece of Egyptian text that was uncovered, and it dates to roughly about the same time frame. And it has this. This is what they uncovered. Quote, it says, "Do a good deed and throw it in the water. When it dries, you will find it." Okay. Feels like that's getting a little bit closer. This, along with verse 2 here, hints that you should share in the lean times so that others will reciprocate with you later. Still, a third option involves one about trading and commerce. If you send out products, then sometime later, hopefully you receive the profits back from it. It also means to try to diversify and try many different ventures, not putting all of your eggs into one basket. In fact, this is the NIV. That's how it renders these verses. I'll read it from the NIV. Verse 1 and 2, it says, "Ship your grain across the sea, and after many days you may receive a return. Invest in 7 ventures, yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land." So putting this all together in summary, it's talking about the value of diligence, planning, being proactive, basically doing anything than just sitting back and letting just time and chance flow over you. The summary header in my Bible over these verses says the value of diligence. Now, the writer of this book, Solomon, had everything at his fingertips, having wealth, power, prestige, you name it. But also, he also saw the fleetingness of all of those same things. One that came to understand that fearing God and keeping the commandments was the real purpose of life. So why would the writer, why would Solomon here try to emphasize the value of diligence? And again, how do we apply this into our lives? Well, I want to read verse 4 again, this time from the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation, just like the NIV, it's a paraphrase translation, but it does help to convey some of the emotional context a little bit better than the New King James. This is Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4. It says this. It says, "Farmers who wait for the perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest." If you just sit and wait, even if you have the very best intentions, nothing's going to happen. If we take the words of these first 4 verses in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and we apply them into our lives right now, then I'd like to suggest that we can use the same thought process as we lead up to Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Now, if we aren't diligent, then the days will just suddenly be here. They're already encroaching upon us now. Soon we'll take the Passover. We'll go through the rituals. We'll de-leaven our homes. But if you haven't made the most of those observances, if you don't plan ahead. Instead, if you take the time, even today, to map out and plan how you want to approach these holy days, then that diligence will pay off through a more meaningful series of holy days. Instead of merely observing the wind and regarding the cloud, let us cast our bread upon the waters for spiritual gain. Now let's tie this together with 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll read verses 5 and 6. These are famous scriptures leading up to Passover and unleavened bread. 2 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 5. It says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves." Now, we often stop right there. And in the weeks and days leading up to Passover, we do focus more on these sinful areas that we want to root out of our lives, areas that we've fallen short. I know that is a perfectly natural thing for me to think about. Sometimes I think about this big spiritual checklist of being a perfect Christian. And the teacher kind of going down the list, and he's giving me checks in a few areas. He's maybe giving me a couple of X's in a couple of other areas. Maybe one year I'll make the honor roll. Maybe another year I might just barely pass. But the scripture goes on. The thought keeps going on. Let's continue. It says, "Do you know or do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you?" He's in you. He's in me. "Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified." Christ is in us. We are in the faith. God wants to have a relationship with us. We aren't perfect. That's not the point. But we are heading towards something amazingly glorious into the future. But it does take work. It does take action. And it does require us to be proactive. So in thinking in the same terms as Solomon back in the book of Ecclesiastes, let's think about how we can be diligent. In the upcoming days before Passover, let's be encouraged to proactively create not a test for ourselves, but rather a list of goals that we can focus on and strive towards. What is it that you really want to focus on this year? And what areas have you really improved in the last year? And how are you going to keep that positive momentum growing? How are you going to connect with God in a meaningful way this year? After you work so hard to de-leaven your houses and get the sin out of your lives, what will you proactively put in its place? Well, in conclusion, we have just a short amount of time before Passover and the days of unleavened bread and when they are upon us. But now is the time to really think about what you hope to accomplish when those days have arrived. As Solomon sat back and looked upon his many experiences, both positive and negative, he had a unique experience to be at the highest of the high and see that no matter what one could gain or acquire or experience or whatever, without a relationship with God, it was all meaningless. And for us to have a meaningful relationship, we have to be proactive. So let us take the time to cast your bread upon the waters, give a serving all the way to 8, and to diligently focus on strengthening your relationship with our Creator in an invigorated way this Passover and days of unleavened bread.